The Federal Bureau of Investigation has plans to add to its team in Saudi Arabia in search of the terrorists responsible for those car bombings in Riyadh this week, in which 34 people were killed, including 8 Americans. U.S. and Saudi law enforcement are working the case together, though the FBI must await Saudi permission to send a rapid deployment team of crime scene experts. The two nations have pledged a public partnership in fighting al-Qaeda, which they believe is responsible for the bombings, but there is disagreement about whether the Saudi government did too little in response to early intelligence warnings of a possible attack. The Saudis are now tightening security in the western city of Jeddah, where there are concerns about possible new attacks. Joining us in the studio is Michael Isikoff, an investigative correspondent at Newsweek magazine and co-author of the weekly web column Terror Watch. Thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you.
And joining us from Jeddah is Khalid Al-Mayina, who's editor of Arab News. Mr. Al-Mayina, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Mr. Isikoff, let me turn to you on this first. The United States complained that the Saudis were not notably cooperative immediately after the attack on Khobar Towers in 1996 in Riyadh. Are there reasons for there to be a change in the level of cooperation this time?
Well, certainly the threat of al-Qaeda after 9/11 and now hitting back home in Saudi is perceived as much more serious, especially you get a sense that the Saudi royal family and government is rattled by this. For the first time in some time, they do see what's going on in the kingdom as a threat to themselves. You get a sense that the al-Qaeda presence in Saudi Arabia is much greater and more extensive than has been publicly acknowledged for the last couple of years, in spite of the fact that 15 of the 19 hijackers were from Saudi Arabia. It appears that they now realize that they can't do that anymore.
Mr. Al-Mayina, are there domestic Saudi concerns that the government there has about this investigation or any investigation into al-Qaeda or people reputed to be aligned with al-Qaeda?
Well, I think people here are a bit apprehensive that this investigation might end up in a dead end, because if you remember about 10 days ago, the government issued a bulletin about 19 Saudis who had escaped from the clutches of the law. And now it is said the perpetrators of this evil act were members of that group. So it may not be al-Qaeda in its previous form. I personally believe, as many other Saudis do, that these are offshoot organizations or fragmentations of al-Qaeda, mm-hmm. or maybe some other organization. So I think really that investigations should be thorough so that we go to the root cause and find out the real address, if I may say so, of these people so that they can be brought to justice.
One of the things that I think grabbed the attention of a number of people when that list of 19 suspects was released is the age of some of them. I believe one was just 19 years old. And what that suggests is that these are not graduates of the Mujahideen training camps, as many of the hijackers had been. This is a sign of new recruitment, new Saudi youths who are enlisted and joining the al-Qaeda cause. And I think that is perhaps the scariest part of this.
Yes, that's true. And I think in the past 3 or 4 months, especially with what happened in Iraq, with what people see in Palestine, maybe al-Qaeda has went on a recruiting drive and trying to sort of prey on the minds of these people and using external circumstances and happenings of what's going on around us to induct people in their ranks. And I think we have to reach that level where we have to really focus on our youth. And this brings us to another point of what we as parents in Saudi Arabia, what the authorities, what the government, what the schools are doing to see that nobody preys upon the minds of these young people.
Mr. Al-Mayina, that sort of raises the question, is an aggressive, no-holds-barred investigation in Saudi Arabia politically popular enough to support?
I think it will be, because this has hit home. If you ask me how the mood is in Saudi Arabia, whether in Riyadh or Jeddah, I think there's a low-level depression. Today I went to the prayer in the mosque where the preacher prayed for peace for those who died and for patience for their families. He mentioned every one of them. I think we have to face up to the facts that societies in the Gulf and in this area have problems, and that young people, they have their own aspirations. They are looking up. They don't want to be merely bystanders, but they want to be travelers on the road of life. They want a better education. They are PC savvy. And I think it's time for the authorities in the whole area, in the Arab world, to sort of give it to them. So people like Bin Laden, whoever is behind Al-Qaeda will not be able to recruit 19 or 17 or 21-year-old young people.
Let me ask you both. Are there people in the Saudi government who are defensive about allegations that there are at least family ties between Al-Qaeda or perhaps affiliated groups and prominent families in Saudi Arabia?
Oh, sure. In fact, a lot of focus has been on Interior Minister Prince Nayef because he controls the security forces. And yet it has been Prince Nayef who has been so resistant to acknowledging the presence of Al-Qaeda in the kingdom. On the other hand, you talk to some people in law enforcement and they say that there has been a level of cooperation that has continued throughout this period, and the Saudis have responded to U.S. requests at times. But have they taken the really tough actions? Have they gone after the wealthy Saudi businessmen who U.S. intelligence has linked to the funding of Al-Qaeda? There is a sense from some people in the U.S. government that this often cuts a little too close to home.
Mr. Al-Mayne, I feel we ought to turn to you for your reaction to that, too.
Well, I have not heard Prince Nayef's public utterances on this. I agree that there was denial post-September the 11th, but I think we were all in a state of shock. It's like being told that your brother is a serial killer. But right now, the mood in the country is that we have to come to terms with what's going on, even if it's unpleasant for us.
Mr. Al-Mayne, you're sitting in Jeddah.
Yes, sir.
And here we have these reports that Jeddah might be a target that's coming up.
And they did mention a particular area in Jeddah called Al-Hamra, where I'm sitting right now. And I think one of the reasons why Al-Hamra was chosen may be because the American consulate is located there. But by and large, I see people walking around and sitting and having their tea down there and smoking their hubbly bubbly. So I don't see any alarm, but I can see police stopping cars and there are checks and opening the trunks of cars and having a cursory look at what's inside. But more than that, I don't think so any security agency can do unless you have a direct finger pointed at somebody who is going to do it, because there's so much chatter.
Khalid Al-Mayne, editor of Arab News, speaking from Jeddah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Michael Isikoff, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Michael Isikoff, investigative correspondent at Newsweek magazine, who is co-author of the weekly web column, Terror Watch.